So one of my favorite things to do is to sit on my front porch in the morning on a nice day, drinking my coffee, listening to the birds, and just watching what's going on. It's been too cold yet to do that, or too wet, but I just enjoy just sitting out there, just so peaceful. And just quiet, it's peaceful, I feel at peace with everything that's going on. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. Well, I did a quick search. And did you know that on Amazon.com, there are over 500 books available related to how to find inner peace? Why is that? Why is there so many books? Well, it's because we like to feel at peace. We like to feel peaceful, like feel like things are under control. We don't like to feel anxious or concerned about things. We like to be happy and carefree. But you know, life isn't always like that, is it? You know, how many of us have sat somewhere and watched kids play and thought, boy, I wish I could be more like the kids. They're just carefree. They're just having a good old time. They're not worrying about anything. They're not anxious about anything. But you know, they are. They're just not the things we're anxious about anymore. They're worried about whether Jimmy's going to be nice to me. They're worried about whether they're going to look silly trying to play baseball. They worry about things, whether they've got the right tennis shoes. All sorts of crazy things that kids are just as anxious as we are. They're just not the same things. They're not carefree either. Life just is not about peace. Life's pretty much anything but it. My morning coffee is usually disrupted by somebody who decides it's time to mow their yard. Or worse yet, get the blower out, the gas blower. All of a sudden, you can't hear the birds. And if there were any birds, they're gone. They left. There's just noise. Once one starts, then that's like the cue that turns the switch on. Pretty soon they're all out and everybody starts doing their thing and the peace and quiet is gone. And we're back to just life, right? So we get little glimpses of it, little pieces of it maybe, but it never lasts very long. And so I was thinking about that, and about Philippians chapter 4, talking about the peace of God. About the peace of God. And I thought, that'd make a good sermon. Let's look into the peace of God. So Harrison read this for us. Tells us in verses 6 and 7 to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. People like this verse because they too often really don't know what it means. We get messed up here. They think that, well, the idea is that I just ask God to take my troubles away, make life good for me. We talked about it in our class this morning. That's not how it works. Troubles don't go away. Let's talk a little bit about the peace of God. What is the peace of God? Well, I'm going to start off with what it is not. And it is not the removal of life's problems. Life's problems are going to be here. That's life. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus didn't say he was going to give us a worldly peace. He said it's not as the world does it. Well, that's a good thing, quite honestly. I told you, I get peace for a few minutes in the morning when I get to drink my coffee. But it doesn't last very long, does it? It doesn't go on for days or weeks or years or a lifetime, let alone an eternity. He comes and he goes, and it's dependent upon other people. My morning coffee peace would last a lot longer if people didn't start their lawnmowers, if they didn't start doing their stuff. If they just left me alone, I'd have a lot longer period of peace. But guess what? I don't get to tell them when they can start mowing their yard. I don't get to tell them when they let their dog out who can start yipping and yapping at me. I don't get to tell them that stuff. It's out of my control. That's the kind of peace we get in the world. It comes and it goes, and a lot of it is not in our control. The peace that is being spoken of here, the peace of God, is not of this world. We need to get that through our heads. It is not of this world. We are never going to have peace on this earth. Not going to happen. There's always going to be troubles, trials, and tribulations. Those of you who sat through my very long class on Ecclesiastes know that in chapter 3, first 8 verses, it talks about the fact that there's a time for everything, a time for every matter under the sun, and it goes on to list a whole bunch of different things. And each one of them is an exact opposite from the next one. Because there's good and there's bad. Every time you get good, you can be sure that there's going to be some bad that will follow it up. Every time you get some bad, there's going to be some good that's going to follow it up. That's life. And the preacher, who wrote Ecclesiastes, continues to tell us that's life. Life has its good times and it has its bad times. And he continually tells us, when the good times come, what are you supposed to do? Enjoy them while they're here. Why is that? Because they're going to disappear. They're going to start mowing the yard, the dogs are going to start barking, or the rains are going to come, or something's going to happen. And the peace is going to be gone. Enjoy it while you got it. Well, okay. Jesus himself told us that there would be tribulations in life. You know, people might argue that Ecclesiastes represents how things worked under the old law. Okay? That things are different now. Jesus has promised us that we were going to have peace. Well, he did. But he also told us in John chapter 16 and verse 33, I have said these things to you that you may have peace in the world, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus tells us we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have troubles. We're not going to have peace. He's told us that. We just don't want to hear it. We want life to be good. Well, life is going to have good points. Life is going to have bad points. You know, and one of the important things to remember is we actually need the bad times. Then a few months ago, I gave a sermon and I talked about the bad times are good for us. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials and tribulations are good for us, folks. If everything was good, we'd forget about God. The Old Testament gives us that example. Every time things got good for the Israelites, they turned away from God. As soon as things got a little tough, they started seeking God again. It's human nature. It's human nature. Trials and tribulations are good for us. We need them. All right, so then what is the peace of God? Well, the peace of God is the recognition that God has provided what we really need. What really matters? I want you to start off by recognizing what it says. Peace of God. That highlights where the source of the peace comes from. I talked about at the beginning, peace on this earth is too often dependent upon other people. It's outside of our control. And they don't always cooperate. The peace of God is the peace that God gives. It is under God's control. That means he's going to make it happen. We don't have to worry about whether it's going to be hit or miss. God will give us peace. So how does he do that? Well, part of this is we need to put something into perspective. Before becoming Christians, each and every one of us were enemies of God. You ever thought about that? You were an enemy of God. Each and every one, complete and total enemy of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we now have been testified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Pay attention here. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. We were enemies, but we've been reconciled. The thing that should have been the biggest concern and the thing that took away our peace was the fact that we were at war with God. As sinners, that's what we are. We are at war with God. How do you win a war with God? You ever thought about that? What's the only possible outcome if we decide to go to war with God? We're going to lose. We're going to lose, folks. There was no winning that war. We were lost. The battle was lost. There was no hope. We were without hope. We were just waiting for the day when it all came to be. Because it was done. The die were cast. The lots were cast, as we've talked about a few times in class. It's done. But here comes Jesus. And the next thing you know, as enemies, we're reconciled. There's been a peace treaty. Now we have hope. Well, shouldn't we feel a whole lot better knowing that we are not condemned to eternal damnation? Shouldn't that bring peace to know that we are not at war with God? That we are not absolutely, positively going to be destroyed? Shouldn't that bring us peace? If it doesn't, then you don't really realize what it is that Christ has done for you, what Christ has given you. You know, we're told that that reconciliation should bring us joy and peace. Romans 5 and verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Do we really rejoice? Do we really think about what we've been given? Do we really consider what was the alternative? If you were condemned to die and you were suddenly given a reprieve, wouldn't you be pretty joyful? Wouldn't you feel pretty good about life? Well, folks, that's each and every one of us. Everybody in this room. That's true of each of us. We've been reconciled. It should be joyful, something that makes us happy. And you know, on top of it all, we've had a place prepared for us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Not only are we reconciled, but he's preparing a place for us. And it's not a place on this earth. It's not a worldly place. It's a place in heaven. And if we go on a little further, in Ecclesiastes, we're reminded that one of the things that brings about peace is the recognition that if we are reconciled to God, that all the trials, all the tribulations, all the cares and concerns of this life are temporary. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Those of you who sat through that class might remember that we Define vanity as being a vapor. Something that doesn't last very long and then it's gone. What the preacher was trying to say is life is going to be full of good, full of bad. Difficulties, tribulations, trials. But it's not going to last very long. You can consider our lifetime versus eternity. It's not very long. That's all the time that we will have to put up with the difficulties of life. If we are faithful, we have to look forward to us. An eternal life of joy. Because this life is just a mist, just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Not going to last very long. That should give us joy. That should give us peace. You know? So many things in life, if we know there's an end to them, we deal with them a whole lot better. We know they're not going to go on forever. I've mentioned before I do spin classes in the morning. I like the classes where they tell me 30 seconds and we're going to stop doing this and do something else. Because then I can watch the little timer and I know all I got to do is make it another 5 seconds. Five more and I'm done. What I don't like is the ones that are open-ended. Put that gear to the top, stand up, we're off. Like, well, how long are we going to be off? How long we got to do this? Because then I'm just sitting watching the ticker go, man, that thing is really slow. This has been going on forever. I'm going to die. We like that about life. If we know something has a definite end to it, we deal with it a whole lot better. If we know that it's not going to last forever, well, it's not. This life is not going to last forever. And again, if we are found faithful, if we are reconciled to God, there's a place waiting for us in heaven. And what is that place like? Well, Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 4. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. All of those things that make life here on this earth so difficult don't exist in heaven. So if we are faithful, if we stay reconciled to God, for the short period of time that is our life on this earth, we can have an eternity where there is no, there's nothing but peace, nothing but joy, nothing but happiness. Well, if you know that you only got to go for a little while and you're going to have a forever of eternal life, of eternal peace, shouldn't that bring us peace and happiness in this life? Because it means all this stuff that's going on just for a short time. Doesn't matter. We just got to get through it. Keep our heads down. Keep plugging along. Because it's all going to end. And we've got something better to look forward to. That's the peace of God. That's what God has offered us. If you obey me, if you obey the gospel, if you're baptized, take advantage of what Jesus has done for you, then you've got an eternity of perfection to look forward to. That should bring peace. That's the peace of God. Oops, wrong button. So, the thing about the peace of God is that it is not something that just happens. The peace of God doesn't just happen. It's a choice you get to make, right? It's a choice, because Isaiah 26:3 tells us you've got to trust God. Okay? Well, why don't you think for a moment? Anybody ever seen those commercials, American Express? They have the tagline, membership has its privilege. Ever heard those? Membership has its privilege. That's pretty true of a lot of things. If you're a member of certain things, you get certain advantages, right? Well, If we are a member of the Lord's people, we're Christians, we've got some privileges. We've got some privileges. And one of those is the privilege of peace. Why is that? Because God says we can have it. But you know, all of those advantages you get by being a member of something are only worthwhile if you take advantage of them. You've got to use them. Your American Express card, it's got privileges, but if you never pull it out of your wallet, guess what? No privileges to be had. You can be a Sam's Club member. If you never go into Sam's Club, you're not going to get any membership benefits. Got to do something with it. Got to take advantage of it. And to take advantage of it, we've got to trust God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." This is really, really important. We talk about the fact that Jesus died for our sins. We talked about the fact that he's prepared a place for us. We talked about the fact that we're told that that place is perfect. It's wonderful. Do you really believe it exists? Do you really believe that God is going to give it to you? Because what Isaiah is telling him, the peace comes when you absolutely put your trust in God, that God will do as he says he will do. When you don't have peace, it's because you don't trust him. You don't think he's going to take care of it. You think that this trials and tribulations of this life are going to go on forever. You don't believe that there will become a time when he'll take all tears away. Do you trust God? You've got to if you want to get that peace. Because if you don't trust God, where are you going to find peace? You know, we've got to place our focus on spiritual things. Romans 8, chapter 6. "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace." If we focus on what God has to offer, we're going to have peace. Because we're focused on what really matters. We're not focused on what doesn't. We went to the Tulip Festival on Friday. Lorraine was on the float for the Future Queens. All the kindergartners got to be on the Future Queens. She was so excited. It rained and it was cold. It was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. Is there anything I could do about it? Nope. I kept looking at my phone like somehow that was going to make it better. All that happened is they kept advancing the time then when it was going to stop raining, which ended up being pretty much all day. It's out of my control. Right? Totally out of my control. If I focused only on those kinds of things, I'm focusing on things that are out of my control. I'm not going to find happiness. I'm not going to find peace. If I focus on spiritual things, that's where I can find peace. Because that's when I realize this won't last forever. The rains will stop. Someday the rains won't matter. Because all this will pass away. And what will matter is an eternity in home with God. But you've got to focus on spiritual things. You've got to let go of the concerns and cares of this life. To that end, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God. It's priorities. It's where you put your priorities. Do you trust God? You know, God has to come first. If he does, the problems, concerns, disappointments of life aren't going to matter that much, because we will be focused on the ultimate prize. We'll be focused on an eternal life where none of this exists. A home where there's no problems, concerns, or disappointments. I want to finish up talking about David. This is the 23rd Psalm. People like to bring the 23rd Psalm out anytime they talk about peace. You read this, and David is telling you exactly where peace comes from. Think about David's life. Was everything in David's life smooth? He gets chosen to take the place of Saul. Saul didn't like that too much, did he? What did Saul try to do? Tried to kill him. Well, that would make one a little bit anxious, wouldn't it? He was sitting one time and a spear goes zinging by him, missed him. That would get my attention. Go on a little bit further. Sees this woman, he thinks she's pretty cool. Next thing you know, he's got a child. Only problem is she's married to another man. He's got some problems. He thinks he's going to take care of the problems. He has the man abandoned on the front lines of a battle. Man gets killed. God comes to him and says, no, no, no. That's not how it works. You've sinned against God. Your firstborn's going to die. David prays and prays and prays. Does the child live? No. But when the child died, what did David do? He got up. He got dressed. And he acted like nothing had happened. Why? Because he trusted God. He knew that the child was taken care of. There was no concerns or cares for that child. God had it. He was taken care of. He trusted God. This isn't how he would have liked for things to turn out, but he had peace because he knew God would take care of the child. Read through this with me and think about how David's talking about and where the peace comes from. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though there's tribulations in my life, I will fear no evil. I'll be at peace. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is described as a man after God's own heart. He's not described as a perfect man or a man who never knew sin or never did anything wrong. David did a lot of things wrong. But David always put his heart with God. He always trusted God. He always sought to serve God. Even when he made mistakes, he believed that God would forgive him and God would take care of him. His focus, his trust was on God. And in spite of all the things that he went through, the battles, the personal trials and tribulations, troubles with his family, he was at peace. He was at peace. Folks, we can be at peace if we just focus on the right things. If we just remember that whatever's going on today won't last forever. But I talked earlier about the fact that membership has its privileges. But you know, if you're not a member, there are no privileges. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you don't get to participate. You don't get to take advantage of those privileges because they don't exist for you. You've got to take advantage of the privileges that have been given. That means obeying the gospel. That means hearing God's word, repenting of your past life, confessing your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized. But you know, despite what the world likes to say, it doesn't end there. You've got to continue to serve God all the days of your life. Does that mean you'll be perfect? No. None of us are. We'll make mistakes. And if you've made mistakes and you need prayers, you need help with something, that's why we're here. So at this time, if you've never obeyed the gospel, do it. Take advantage of that. That's where you'll find peace. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've made mistakes, you can find peace by repenting of those, knowing that you've got a Father who will forgive, who will forget, make it all go away. And he can still offer you that home in heaven with you, with him. If we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.